Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something that can absolutely level up your drum and bass arrangements, a rewind moment in Ableton Live 12, but not as a one-off gimmick. We're turning it into a proper performance tool, controlled with macro controls, so you can shape it live, automate it, and swap between different flavors of jungle and old-school DNB energy. Think of the rewind as a temporary removal of forward motion. That's the magic. You don't just want a reverse sound, you want that little vacuum before the drop, where the crowd leans in, the groove disappears for a second, and then the drums slam back in harder than before. Now, if you've done this kind of thing before, the big upgrade here is control. We're not just reversing an audio clip and calling it a day. We're building a rack that can manage reverse motion, filter movement, pitch drag, echo smear, noise texture, and re-entry punch, all from a few macros. That means one gesture can do a lot of work, which is exactly what you want in DNB. First, choose your source material carefully. This matters more than people think. For a rewind to feel musical, the break itself needs character. Something like an in-end chop, a thick break, funky drummer-style material, or your own edited two-bar drum stem with ghost notes, snare detail, and a bit of room tone. You want swing, transience, and some personality already baked in. If the source is too washed out, the rewind will blur into mush. So keep it reasonably dry, and give yourself some headroom. Aim for peaks around -6 to -10 dB. That leaves space for processing, and it helps the transition hit cleanly later on. Now let's build the rack. Put an audio effect rack on your drum bus or transition group, and create three chains. One for the dry drums, one for the rewind, and one for the FX tail. This is a smart structure, because it means you can blend between normal groove and transition mode instead of destroying the whole drum loop. On the rewind chain, a good starting order is simpler or sampler, then auto filter, then saturator, then echo, then reverb or hybrid reverb. You can also add drum bus at the end, if you want a bit of glue or transient shaping. Keep the dry chain mostly untouched so your bass groove stays stable. If you want that classic rewind feel, you can work both clip-based and sample-based. One method is to duplicate the drum clip, reverse it in clip view, and trim it so it lands exactly on the drop point. Then fade it in or automate the volume so it pulls the listener backward. Another method is to load the break into simpler, set it to classic mode, and use reverse playback or sample start control for a more playable texture. And for advanced results, layer both. Let the reversed clip give you the big sweep, and let the simpler layer add detail and attack. Now here's the core of the lesson. Map the transition controls to macros. This is where the rack becomes an instrument. Use one macro for reverse amount that can control the wet-dry balance or crossfade between your dry drum chain and rewind chain. Use another macro for filter dampen. Map that to the cutoff on auto filter and sweep it from bright and open all the way down into a much darker range. Use a macro for pitch drop. If you're using shifter or a sample-based transpose move, this gives you that tape stop style fall. Add echo smear is another macro, controlling the dry wet on echo so the last part of the rewind leaves a trail, but doesn't drown the drop. Noise lift is another good one. You can map that to a subtle erosion layer, vinyl distortion, or another texture source to give the rewind a bit of grime and air. And finally, re-entry punch. That can open up transients on drum bus or bring the dry drums back in with a little more force. That return is everything. The rewind only works if the comeback feels stronger. A very useful way to think about this is that each macro should do more than one thing. For example, as the filter closes, maybe the echo gets a little wetter. As the pitch drops, the dry drums fade back. As the noise rises, the width narrows slightly. These relationships make the whole thing feel like one coherent gesture instead of random automation. For jungle and old-school vibes, a little roughness is actually the good thing. Don't make every rewind perfectly identical. Let some be shorter, some darker, some a bit more smeared. That inconsistency makes it feel human, or at least human-adjacent, which suits the style. Now shape the rewind itself. On the rewind chain, use auto filter in low-pass mode to strip away the top end as the pullback happens. Then add saturator with a modest amount of drive, just enough to add grit and edge. If the transients get too sharp, use soft clipping. If it still feels too clean, add a touch of erosion, but keep it subtle. A really good relationship to remember is this. As the cutoff goes down, the wetness can go up. As the drive increases, the rewind can feel a little more unstable. That instability is part of the vibe. It gives you that old tape machine under pressure kind of energy. Next, add the tail. Echo and reverb are there to create a short smear, not a huge wash. In echo, Keep the feedback controlled and the tone dark. In many cases, a dotted eighth or quarter note feel works well, depending on the tempo and phrase length. In reverb, keep the decay short to medium and try to avoid low-end buildup. If you want it gritty and authentic, a small room or metallic feel is often better than a lush modern space. A really good rule here is to let the full tail appear only at the very end of the transition. Don't smear the whole section. Save the biggest movement for the last half bar or last beat before the drop. In a 32-bar section, bar 31 is often a perfect place for the rewind. Then let bar 32 breathe before the hit. Now let's talk about the re-entry, because that's where the impact lies. Put something like drum bus or a gentle glue compressor on the main drum bus after the transition system. The goal is to make the drums snap back into focus. A little transient boost goes a long way. Be careful with boom if your sub is already busy, because the low end can get muddy fast after a rewind. For jungle, the snare return is huge. That first back and hit needs to feel like the floor drops back and under the track. Layering helps here. A main snare, maybe a short clap or rim, a small room hit, and some ghosted break detail can make the return feel much more serious. Now comes automation. And this is where the lesson stops being just sound design and starts becoming arrangement design. Place the rewind at the end of an actual phrase. End of an 8-bar build. End of a 16-bar switch up. Last beat before a drop, or the point where you want to reset the listener's energy. Then automate the macros over that phrase so the transition evolves naturally. Maybe reverse amount rises over one bar. Maybe filter dampen closes over the last two beats. Maybe echo smear only opens up on the final snare. Maybe the dry drums duck slightly during the rewind, then come back in full on the drop. That phrase-based thinking is crucial in DNB. The rhythm of the arrangement has to feel intentional. If the rewind is disconnected from the bar structure, it will sound like a random FX trick, but if it lands on the one, or the end of the phrase, it becomes part of the groove language. And now for one of the best tools in Live 12, macro variations. Save different versions of the rack, so you can recall different rewind personalities instantly. One variation can be a clean rewind, with mild reverse and a short filter sweep. Another can be a dirty jungle pull, with heavier drive and darker echo. Another can be a tape collapse, where the pitch drops harder and the dry signal disappears more dramatically. You could even create a tighter, more modern version for neuro-adjacent tracks, where the smear is shorter and the transient return is more mechanical. This is a big workflow win. Instead of rebuilding transitions from scratch, you can audition moods fast and keep your arrangement moving. A few pro tips while you're working. If your break is very busy, try only processing the ghost notes, hats, and tails, not the full break. That creates a more believable drums falling away feel. Also, keep an eye on the low end. A rewind is much more powerful when the sub is disciplined or briefly removed. That little hole in the bottom makes the drop feel massive when it returns. Also, if the transition feels too polite, add a very short reverse crash or reverse ride at a low level. Just a little bit. Enough to add motion without drifting into generic riser territory. And if you really want to lock it in, resample the rewind once it works. Print it to audio, slice it, and place it back into the arrangement. That gives you more precision. And it's often easier to layer impact hits underneath a printed rewind than to keep everything live forever. Here's a good mini practice move. Build three rewind versions from the same 2-bar break. Make one clean and old school. Make one dirty and jungle heavy. Make one tighter and more modern. Put each at the end of an 8-bar phrase, and test them with the bass muted and then with the bass back in. You'll hear very quickly which one creates the strongest contrast without clutter. That contrast is the real goal. A strong rewind doesn't just sound cool. It creates a temporary absence of motion. And then the next drum hit lands with more authority because of that absence. That's why rewinds work so well in jungle culture, and why they still matter in modern DNB. So to sum it up, build the rewind around phrase structure, not random sound design. Use macros to control reverse, filter, pitch, echo, and re-entry. Keep the low end clean. Save macro variations for different moods. And remember, the best rewind moments feel like a musical reset button that makes the next drop hit harder. Now go build it, automate it, perform it, and make that transition speak with some proper old-school pressure.